And this week's parsha is Parsha Tetzaveh. And it starts with a very problematic paragraph. Well, it's problematic, okay? It starts, Atat Tetzaveh B'nei Yisrael. And as for you, you will command B'nei Yisrael, B'chui Lech Hashem and Zayit Zach, and they will take for you pure olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, katit lama, or pressed for lighting. Lalot ner tamid, to light the eternal light. Olam Moed, in the Olam Moed, the Mishkan, Michus HaBarocha, outside the curtain, Asher al-Adut, that's covering the Adut and the Aron. Yarocha to Aron Abanav, Aron and his sons will set it up, Be'er Bad Boker, from evening till morning, Lefnei Hashem, before God. Chukat Olam Adoratam, it's an eternal rule for all generations, made B'nai Israel for B'nai Israel. And it's problematic for a number of reasons. Sounds pretty benign, but the biggest one that we're also going to look at is that it doesn't belong here. Okay, This is this whole part of the Torah is talking about building the Mishkan. The nation setting up how it's built. This is not a building part, this is operations. They're lighting the menorah, right? They're also going to bring the Karbanot, they're going to offer the Torah, they're going to have the Lechem Panim, all those sorts of things. We've got an entire Sefer dedicated to the operations part of the Mishkan, that's Sefer Vayikra. This is the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And we know it's the wrong place because the same paragraph occurs in Sefer Vayikra. Okay? Remember we just read, and we're going to do this. This is from Vayikra Yikoptah. This is Project Emor.
Can we take one break? I just want to break. Yeah. You're just going to have to listen in for a minute. Jackie, you not do this now so I can have my floor. And then do something.
Stop recording.
Prepare for your class or something. Okay? I just want to have a peaceful hour. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. We're recording. You know that. So this is all that is available.
Okay. I was pretty nice. I wasn't mean.
You were very nice.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You said nothing that you'll future regret. Okay, so the paragraph in MR is Stav Israel, command Israel, Bichuei Lech Hashem and Zayit Zach Katit Lamor, and they will take for you extra virgin olive oil pressed for lighting Lalot Ner Tamid, to light the eternal light. It's the same words. Okay, it's repeated the same thing in Vayikra. Bichuei Lech Hashem and Zayit, outside the curtain that covers the Edut, Omoed, in the Mishkan, Yerocha to Arom Ne'er Bat Boker, Aaron will set it up. From evening till morning, l'snei Hashem tamid, before God, always, katalam d'orot yechem, an eternal law for your generations. Al-menorah ha-torah, yaruch et-hanerot, you'll on the menorah, he'll set up these lamps, l'snei Hashem tamid, before God. And so that, basically the same thing, it's a little more details here, it mentions the menorah, and that he'll have the lamps will be lit up on the menorah, and then part of the details about the menorah are in Sefer Bamidbar, and why there are halachot in the Midbar, where most of this narrative is a separate discussion. It says over there, the Beral Rav Matai Love, so speak to Aaron, tell him, when you light the lamp of the menorah, El Mul Pnei Menorah, they should go toward the face of the menorah. The Yerushivat, all seven lamps should be for the face of the menorah. And in fact, the text itself tells us that doesn't belong in our parsha, right? The parsha starts out as Va'atat Titzaveh. Titzaveh isn't Tzaveh B'nei Israel. It's not the command. It's the future, right? Atat Titzaveh, you will command B'nei Israel at some point in the future about the oil and laying the menorah. The actual command to tell them comes later in Emor. So what's it?
That is
here?
Pretty weird.
Yeah. Maybe they're giving the ants notice because they have to grow the olives. They have to grow the trees.
In the middle of the desert. Hmm. Right. No. I mean, we know they didn't. They asked for donations, and anybody who had enough, who had the presence of mind to bring olive oil before it, gave it to them. Right. They're not growing it. But yes, but clear what it is. That's what's going on here, right? Tim is giving Moshe advance notice that you will, when we kind of get around to all the details of the operations of the Mishkan, you're going to need this oil for the menorah. Okay, mm-hmm. That's true of everything. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say anything about, you know, you will command them about sacrifices. The Kliyakma, right. goes through this. And this is Gandosa basically a car, and he goes through a whole bunch of problems with this paragraph, not just ours, but this is a clear car. Tatzaveh ben Israel, yesh ledakdek. We need to ask again, mahu v'ata tatzaveh, shtei nochechiyot. Why it has two words that imply second person? It's v'ata tatzaveh. Tzaveh itself says, you will command. V'ata is miyutar. Right? You know, you would translate as, and as for you, you will command them. Okay, it's redundant. Milat v'ata kulo miyutar. It's completely redundant. Umashka tava Ramban. He's going to quote the Ramban, who notices the problem, and says, Lomar shehikpid shelo yaseh de shaliach. That this is something that needed, v'ata means just Moshe. Specifically, it's got to be you who does this. You're in charge of this, of the shemen and getting the oil together. And the clear car says, he goof akashi. That's just begging the question.
Wait. Moshe's in charge of doing it, not of commanding it?
Of organizing it, right? It says, v'ata tetzaveh.
Oh.
As for you, you will command Bnei Israel to get the oil, as opposed to everywhere else, it says, command them.
What's
v'ata, which implies this is davka you, this is specifically for you, Moshe. And Ramban says, well, that's because it was specifically Moshe. And the clear car says, wait, that doesn't answer the question. That is the question.
I read somewhere too that this is really happening after Chaita Egel, and Moshe says, "Mechirina misifrecha." So this is the Vata. Like, I'm not going to say your name, but you know who you are.
So hold that thought. That's not coming until much later.
Okay.
But yeah.
But I was very confused because I didn't understand the whole time thing. So if you want to do that, that would be awesome because I did not really understand.
But yeah, so this, right. So we're going to deal with the fact that it doesn't say Moshe's name, just says Atalia. Hold that thought. That's very true. Okay, so the first question is, what is Atalia, right? Why is this most specifically, why does that say, and as for you, Moshe? The came but some of the next paragraph, you look at it, it says, that you are going to v'ata. As for you, you're going to tell them to make the big day kuna and v'ata hakreim, and you're going to bring Aaron and tell him he's got to be the kohen. Says v'ata three times. No v'idaber Hashem Moshe more. Right, that's your point. And then we have to explain this va'ata. Why am I emphasizing this is all about you, Moshe? And then all the commentators ask, why is this mentioned here? That was our first question. Because the way it's where it should be is after they made the Mishkan, after they set up the menorah. And the Ramahari Abarbanel. Ramahari Pirish, Ikar Mitzvah Zu B'Parshat Emor. That the real mitzvah is later on, in Emor, in Vayikra, which we saw. That's later on. That's where the mitzvah is. The Kan Nemer Tzitzaveh, now it says what we said, you will tell them. This is telling Moshe, you're going to have this commandment. You're going to have to be in charge of this later. And Tzidkar says, that, okay, that's the same problem as the Ramban. That's begging the question. Why come now? Zvarav kol pasuk zem yutar. According to that, this whole paragraph is completely redundant. Magid lo bazesh is so full of tzavot. Why bother telling him? You're going to tell him later. Od kasha. Another question. If you haven't looked at, it says, alot ner tamid. What this paragraph says. The mitzvah is, you're going to make the oil, alot ner tamid, and ner is singular. To me, Nerot Mibaylai. It should say Nerot. Right? They got seven lamps on the menorah. What's Ner Tamid?
Each like branch of each light on the menorah it's called like a separate Ner. Like they're treating it as separate ones. Like I see both here. There's menorah and there's Ner, but it's the Nerot that are on the menorah.
In menorah, and there are Nerot on. There are seven Nerot on the menorah. That's right.
But the Ner Tamid is something else. No.
Very good.
So there's a menorah and
So that's where Cleo's car is going to end up going. Is that it? Doesn't say it never says menorah here at all.
Well, at the end it did.
Ah, that's in Emor. Emor says Menorah Tzrayah Yairuch HaNerot, plural. Our paragraph is that you're going to lot Ner Tamid. That's a Chukak Olam, that's a Ner Tamid.
But then,
so you're already seeing where he's going to go with the problem here.
He's still saying Ner Tamid again. So it seems like they're connected.
In Emor, it says Ner Tamid, you're right. That's going to be have to figure that, right? There's a Ner Tamid and then the Nerot to the Menorah. We have to figure that out, right? That's clearly where we're it's a problem in that our first looking at it, we don't notice that's going on until the clear card knocks us over the head and says, wait a minute. It doesn't say menorahs yet in that first paragraph, don't worry about. The Od Kasha, and another problem, it says, it gives us these, you're gonna light this near Tamid in the Olam Oed, outside the parochet that's over the Edut. Kol mara makom aruch zo unira lo tzora. That the whole discussion of where you're putting it is all redundant. Yelomar al menorah. We already had last week's parsha where the menorah is. It says you're going to put the menorah in the Kodesh on the south side. On the south side in front of the parochet. That's where you're lighting. Why does it have to tell you it's in the Olam Oed outside the parochet that's on the Edut? We know where the menorah is. I missed one of them. And here, Od Kasha Lo Lo Dalku Kiim Me'er Boker. And the other thing, why is it called the Ner Tamid if it's only lit from evening till morning? Always. The Rashi, of all those questions, Rashi addresses that. One, it says that's not a problem because Tamid just means every day. Every night. Kol Laila V'Laila Kriya Tamid.
Right.
Moshe Ata Omer Ola Tamid. Like the Ola is offered every morning. That's an Ola Tamid. It doesn't mean constant. It means consistent every day. So the Kliya Kar says, no, we got two different phrases. We got Erev Me'erev Ad Boker, which is every night, you know, from evening till morning. And we have Tamid. And that, what you just said, Phillips, is that there's a halach meaning here because there are two sets of lamps. There's a Ner Tamid, and there's the rest of the lamps of menorah that are lit Me'erev Ad Boker. Okay, there are seven Nerot on a menorah, one of which is a Ner Tamid. That's what I understand.
But it's not a separate piece. It's part of the menorah.
It's not a separate piece. We don't have, because if it was a separate piece, it should have been mentioned. Here's a separate light. But that's what it says, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, to the front of the menorah, the Snei Hashem, that the idea that if we consider the menorah to be on the south side of the Mishkan, arranged east to west, so the Kodesh Kodashim is in the west side.
Davida's question, it's not a separate thing, like over there's the Ner Tamid and here's the menorah?
No.
It's part of the menorah.
The way it's understood,
it's like one of them
has seven lamps, and the westernmost one, the one closest to the Kodesh, is the Ner Ma'aravi.
Oh.
Okay, that's the one that's called the Nei Hashem. That's the Ner Tamid. Okay.
All the shuls we have a Ner Tamid, right? Every shul has a Ner Tamid. That's just a nice thing.
It is just the nice symbolic of the one there. We'll talk about why the Ner Tamid is important, how to connect to Moshe as well.
It's such a singular notice, like Ner Tamid. It's like such a single entity. It seems weird.
I know. And the other candles, they'd be jealous, you know?
Okay. Right, let's look at that. If we can, let's look at the Sifri in that, okay?
Okay.
We're gonna talk about the Ner Tamid, the other candles. Because it's interesting what you do. Okay, so this is Ya'ir Shivat HaNerot, that you're going to have to light. This is talking about where you're going to light these seven candles El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, toward the face of the menorah. What accounts as the face? Shomei Ani Sheyu Dolkim La'Olam. So that it sounds like I should light them, have them continually lit. Am Lomar Me'erev Ad Boker. So the Torah says, no, it's from evening till morning. You just have to have the menorah is lit at night. Ime Aravad Boker, Yachol Kula. I mean, it sounds like the data, right? This is the way the halakha of the Drashim works. If there's supposed to be lit from evening till morning, I'd assume that's all seven of those who lived from morning till evening. No, Tamil Lomer Lifnei Hashem Tamid, that there is one that is literally Lifnei Hashem, that is Tamid all the time. Sheyet Ner Maravi Tadir, that the Ner Maravi is kept continually lit. Semimenu Madlik Etanerot Ben Harbayim. And from that one, you take the flame from there and light the other ones every evening.
It's like the Shamash.
Yeah. Except the Shamash is not the Sefer. This is the important one. This is the one that's right there. And the way the Sifra on Emars puts it, Lelot Ner, Chethe Ner Maravi Dolik Tadir. Okay, the westernmost Ner is meant, should be lit all the time. Because that's the one you start from, and that's where you finish. That's the last one that will go out. So it's going to say, how does the Kohen light the menorah in general? When all the Kohanim are getting in, getting ready to start the avodah, who, the Kohen who's in charge of the menorah that day, and they had a lot of reasons to do that, we get in there extra early. What would he do? Nichna, if he came in, umata shtei nerot mizrachiyim, and no one knows what mizrachi means there, dolkiyim. If there are at least two other lamps lit, the dasheret the mizrachi, you have to extinguish the eastern ones. I'm just reading this, not so much what the words, but the way it's understood. Umeniach the maravi dolik. Leave the maravi lit. If the near maravi is still lit, leave it lit. Clean out all the desh and all the ash and all the oil from the other ones, and put in new wicks and new oil in the other ones. So that in the evening they'll take from that lit ner maravi and light the other ones. This is first thing in the morning. You set it up so that in the evening they can do it, leaving the ner maravi lit. Matzosha kava, if the western light is out, your near tamid went out, then midashno, then you clean it out. And then you fill it with oil and light it, and you bring the fire out from the mizbeach that's outside.
But if it went out, it wasn't a near tamid. How did it go out?
That's true. Well, because eventually it goes out, right? You just went in there and it went out. It used up all the oil. But we'll talk about that.
Can you fill it up with more oil? Like, you see it's basically almost out, but so you don't have to relight it, but you just top it off?
I would say yes, you could. It doesn't simply mention that. It's talking about just if you find it out. You probably should be topping it off the whole time. You still need to replace the wicks and things like that. Nothing lasts forever. Sort of.
This especially if you're burning it.
Neil Yashiv calls that. So I always question our paragraph. We can understand the Mashakatuva Ramban. We're gonna quote the Ramban here. Imasha Marla Lot Ner Tamid, when it's talking about the Ner Tamid, Hainu Ner Maravi, which we just said. That's talking about the one lamp that actually is separate, not the all the lamps of the menorah, but the Ner Maravi Sheadolik Lolam that was kept lit all the time, through the day also. Well, Sharnay wrote Lohayu Tamid. The other ones were not Tamid, Kime Arabat Bokadal, they were just lit at night. But Achazu, and when we understand our paragraph about that, you turn to Kol Speg Kota Nizkarim. They don't understand all everything else we're talking about. Why is it Vata? Why is he telling about it now in the building? We said why it's called Tamid. We know that. Why is it
Why Ata?
And the other
part. How does it answer the Ata?
We haven't gotten to that yet. We say we will.
Tell
us why it's Vata.
Okay.
Right. And we understand why it says Olam Olay Nikusa Parochim. How you do? Why does it give all that whole introduction to where the candle is? So that's important. Once we understand that, we'll know what to do. Because I have to understand this near Tamid. Yeah, because Hashem says, "Vasuli Mikdash v'Shachanti B'Tacham." You build this Mikdash. You build this Mishkan, and I will dwell among them. Yeah, Parochet. Madil beKodesh Hakadoshim beKodesh leKodesh Hakadoshim. But the center of the Shekhinah is on the Aron. That's in the Kodesh Kodeshim. Mm-hmm. The Parochet is the curtain that divides that. So nobody had any experience of seeing the Aron. But so Moshe, Shebechol Chelef, in every part of the Mishkan, he had Devar HaMoreh Shechina Shreb Israel. Maybe she should be something that you could feel that the Shechina is present. So in the Kodesh Kodashim is the Aron Lukot HaEdut, that's the Edut that's there. That's fine. But Amnam Achashe Parochet Masik, but now you've got the Parochet in front, separating, in Kodam Rashai Levoshama, and nobody else can go in there, and Moshe can go in there and talk to Hashem. The Kohen Gadol can go in once a year, but in general, no one's going to ever see that Aron there. Alkein Chutzrach HaKodesh Baruch Hu, L'asot Neis HaHechal, so Hashem is going to make a miracle in the Hechal, which is the Kodesh, the front part of the Mishkan, where the menorah is, some kind of sign, the Ner HaMaravi, that's the Ner Tamid, that everyone can see it. He's assuming that the Kohanim are going there, but at least the rest of the people can at least look into the Mishkan there, see this Ner Tamid there. That would be the sign that the Shekhinah is still present. See that the name of God is still there. But to see how or why.
But God doesn't keep it going. That's not the nes that he keeps it going.
That's what we're going to have to talk about. What is this Ner Maravi about? But it's the parochet that makes this necessary, because if it wasn't a parochet there, then you would directly experience the Aron there. So the pasuk is saying, back up over here, it's going to be omoi michusa parochet asher leidut. That's what you need the Ner Tamid, because the parochet's over there. But it's not so much telling you where it is, but the purpose is to kind of move the sign of the Shekhinah forward. And that's your question. What kind of sign of the Shekhinah is it if every morning they got to go in and top it off and light those candles? And that's the Gemara and Shabbat. That's actually the Sefra starts with the Gemara and Shabbat. Called the Edut. This is an Edut. An Edut l'chol bai olam, she'Shekhinah b'Yisrael. That this Ner Maravi was proof that the Shekhinah was present. And the idea, how do we know that it had some kind of meaning? Because the menorah wasn't necessary for light. But if Hashem wanted to, we had that whole pillar of fire. All 40 years that Bnei Israel were in the wilderness, they didn't need candles. Right? There was a pillar of fire there. God doesn't need the light there. What is the Edut of the menorah? It's the Edut l'chol bai olam, to tell everyone she'Shekhinah b'Yisrael. The Gemara says, what is that Edut? My Edut? Marav zu ner maravi. Notin b'Hashem et midat chevroteha. That the actual amount of oil that was put into each ner was the same. They're all the same size, put the same amount in there. U'mena ha'madlik u'vahayu masayim.
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
It feels precursor to Hanukkah.
That's exactly right. And that's what we said over here. And that and to talk about that, is that the oil wasn't that it lasted so much forever, but there was a little bit of miracle there that would last longer than it should have. It would last for 24 hours. Plus, instead of the 12 hours, that's the amount of oil that was in there. And so that's really the way to understand Nes Chanukah, is that it was the Edut that the Shekhinah had come back to the Beit HaMikdash.
I feel like we experienced that Nes, like when you light like the Yahrzeit candle for like 2 day Yentiv, or even one, whatever it is, one day, and it says 24 hours, but after 36, you're like, oh, it's still going, you know? It's like you feel it.
I never have that. Mine always go out like, just what I want to use it to light the next candle from. So I am not zochet to this mitzvah. You are zochet to the miracle.
You know when, like, I always buy the giant ones anyways because I always get nervous, but like,
it's in when
there,
hood,
it looks like, that when happens, it looks like there's me. Nothing left.
She froze. Everybody froze.
Oh, you froze for us.
Everyone's frozen for me. You're back.
You're back.
Wait, but I don't understand though, because... They like what it said before, though, was that sometimes the Kohen would come in the morning and two of them would be lit. So what, meaning, even why is the Ner Tamid longer than the Mizrahi one? Because that one sometimes is lit also.
It could be. So again, that was just lit overnight. You know, you lit it at night and you woke, and you put it in the, and you came back in the morning and it could still be lit. That's lasting for 12 hours. But the Ner Maravi, you lit in the morning, it still be lit by the next morning. So that's less than 24 hours.
But there's a contradiction of that little tidbit we saw. If he found that it went out, he has to do this and this.
Yes, and that's going to become critical, and I appreciate that, that this is a nace that people have to do anyway.
Oh.
What is that?
That becomes, we're going to have to look at that. That it is, it is not something that God just does it. It's that God does it, and sometimes it needs your human beings to help it out. That's fine. That's a real nenes, okay? Because it involves both of us. Mm-hmm. Just having a miracle is not an edut that the Shekhinah is Shriya B'Tok B'nei Israel. It's that, just like Hanukkah. Well, go ahead and pull Hanukkah in here. That they lit, you know, we light it, and Hashem adds the siman, okay, that I approve. It's going to last longer than you expect. It's still got to be a human being doing it. We're going to continue on. You all figured everything out so far. But Vatzazu Nema. This is the Kli Akar continue on. His answer, the suggestion says, Shekol Parsha Zu Ein Kavanah L'Tzavot Al Nerot HaMenorah. So we're not talking about landing the menorah. That's got its own place at the end of the paragraph in Emor and in Balotcha. Kima Parsha Emor Sham Ikar Makom Tziboy Zed. That's really where it's coming. Kan Ikar Tziboy Al Ner Maravi. With a lot of Moshe. So this really is telling Moshe, don't worry. Even though the parochet is separating, we build the Mishkan here, the parochet is keeping the Aron Eidut inside and he knows this. There'll still be a sign that the Shekhinah is present. They'll see that. Why does Moshe need this? Why is Vata? Moshe wants to hear this. While they're building the Mishkan, Moshe needs to know about this Ner Maravi. So this is the Kli Akar continuing. This is Moshe's mitzvah, because this symbolizes Moshe. Bar Yadata, Shemoshe Rabbeinu Lav Shalom, Ner Marabo, that we know that Moshe, they said about him, it says, Bayar Reshit Lo, he was the first to see, Uhu Haya Kener Zu, that Moshe was like this candle. Shemadlikim mimenu karmenei rot. Okay, Moshe was that one candle who gets the nace from Hashem and then from there lights everything else up. And that candle that you're lighting from doesn't lose any, is not diminished at all. And that's Rashi, also in Balotcha. Then he says, "Lama Moshe domeh b'tashat." What was Moshe like when he is there giving his nevuah to everyone else? Ner shemenuach al gabei menorah, like the lamp on the menorah, a kol madliki amenu, and everyone lights from that one light. Then arochas arklum, and his light doesn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
Moshe is symbolized by this ner maravi.
It seems odd, right? I never heard of Ner HaMaravi. Just not a term I ever heard. Ner HaMaravi.
Oh, it's there. It's over and over again.
Yeah. Like Kotel HaMaravi. Right, but not Ner
HaMaravi. Right, because we realize that the Ara, we kind of face east, but really, you know, if you're in the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKodeshim is west. The entrance is in the east.
Okay.
So the Kotel HaMaravi would be the back side of you're facing the back of the Beit HaMikdash when they built it. Beit HaMikdash would face toward the east. The door of it. Okay. So that Moshe Rabbeinu is, so tell me, Menor Shefa Ruach HaKodesh al Kol Neviim. That Moshe Rabbeinu gives of his own Ruach HaKodesh to all Neviim. Kach Ner Maravi Zeh, She'er Matmid B'derach Nes, so to this Ner Maravi, that the light would last longer as that miracle. Again, not forever, it still needs to be cleaned out and add oil to it, but there's some degree of Nes there. Kach Ner Maravi Tat Zaveh, Shnei Nochiyot, that's why it has this redundant. You were there. This symbolizes you.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And what the menorah is, we're still, we expand this a little bit because the menorah itself is a symbol of Talmud Torah. That's what it's taken as. You know, that just like Moshe is one that teaches Torah for Israel, the menorah becomes that symbol of that. And you know that from the halacha about where you're supposed to face when you're davening. We all face toward Yerushalayim. But there are other opinions in Gemara. Amar Yitzchak, Haros Leitzi Yachmim Yadrim. If you want to become wise, you should pray toward the south. Yashir Yatzpedek. If you want to become rich, you should pray toward the north. You see Mancha, and the mnemonic for that is the Shulchan Batzafon, that the Shulchan, which is symbolic of the Keter Melucha, of kingship, that was in the north side of the Mishkan. Umenorah b'darom, the menorah was in the south side.
How does a shulchan evoke kingship? You just say it
does. It's food and prosperity. Talk about okay. That's typically the. I mean, we're not talking about the shulchan here. But yeah. It's okay. Got a crown. It's got a crown on it. That's considered the right. Just like there's a crown of kahuna, that's the mizbeach, okay. Zahav, the crown on the shulchan is keter melucha, crown around the aron is keter torah, and we have a menorah here that you can, you know, sort of mentally face toward the menorah, that's for chachma. Shubin Levi Omer, the older Nadrim said, no, you should always stay south, shemitoch shem mitchakem mitasher, that once you're wise, you've got chachma, then you'll become rich as well. Always wish ask for wisdom. And it's a symbol of Torah Shebal Peh. Aron is a symbol of Torah Shebektav, that's the Luchot that's sitting in there. Menorah is that Torah Shebal Peh, and that's the idea that it lights the other lights, it's transmitted from one to the next, and it, despite its fact, it's miraculous, it needs human intervention.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way Rav Tzedek of Lublin puts it. Kvar amanu d'inyan ha-menorah, the inyan menorah hani or Torah Shebal Peh. Each kli in the Mishkan has certain symbolism there. This always symbolizes the Torah Shebal Peh. Nitin l'chachamim ha-koach la'ir kivachol l'fanav. That we lights that light up Hashem. Hashem doesn't need our light, but we're doing it anyway. Kinyan yitzchuni banai, like this famous story of the Teresh Achnai, where Hashem says, my children defeated me. Right, where there's a bat kol, and Yossi says, we don't listen to bat kols, we decide here. That's what menorah is. Right, we gotta light it. Menorah yesh la keter Torah. There's a keter on the menorah as well.
You said that like the Aron is the keter Torah, because that's what has the Luchot and the Sefer Torah the Moshe wrote, but the menorah also has the keter Torah, but you're saying one is like Shebichtav, this is like the just from Hashem one, and then the menorah is like Torah Shabbat. Is that, because you're saying they both have a keter Torah on that?
Yes, that's exactly what we're saying.
It's also like Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, like this is, if you ever see that, you know that it's referring to Torah, but okay, I was just confused because the Aron also, but this helps me because now it's like it's a different, it's right. Something different.
The menorah, the Aron just sits there. Aron is Torah Shabbat. The menorah needs to be lit, and Hashem brings the nace of the Ner Tamid once it's been lit and allows it to continue to light. And this is the way the Rav Hutner puts it, of why the menorah is the edut that the Shechina is Rabbi Yisrael. Torah edut shem menorah. This fact of the idea that we said the menorah is the edut, this is a testimony that the Shechina is here. And then Novat, it doesn't come, Yizeshakara shinoi teva b'ner maravi. It's not because of some kind of miracle, the ner maravi. But there were a lot of miracles in the Beit HaMikdash, as it says in Pirkei Avot, right, that everyone had room to lie down, that pregnant women never got sick from the smell, all that, that list in Pirkei Avot, we know that. There are lots of little miracles there. Ikar Torah te'edut shel menorah. But what the menorah is telling us, that we're doing a mitzvah that involves a miracle. We're lighting it, and they're seeing, okay, it's lasting longer than we should have. We should appreciate that the miracle and a sign that Hashem approves of what we're doing. And that's part of it. That's Moshe. So Moshe is the kind of the representative of the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what the Ne'er Tamid means. That's what the Ba'atah. But the other side is what you said, is the fact that it doesn't say Moshe's name. Everyone knows that Parshat Tzave has no mention of Moshe at all.
Oh, right.
So the Baal Turim says that, Batat Tzaveh, Lo Hizkarkan Moshe B'Shem. And he says, the reason everybody knows, Hashem She'amar B'Chini Mas M'Sifracha, because Moshe says when he's bargaining with Hashem, don't destroy them for the Chayda Egel. He says, if you're not gonna save the people, wipe me out from your book. Because the curse of a chacham, even though this was a met, the fact that he said it, Hashem said, fine, we're going to wipe you out. So Mickey Ariel always objects when I talk about that thing, is that the parshiot are not in the text at all. What do you mean? The parshiot Tzaveh doesn't have his name. There's no such thing as a parshiot Tzaveh.
Right.
We made this later. So it can't mean anything. But what I did here, it's small as you can see it.
I can see you're searching. Like I see those yellow stripes.
Why is this not? There we go. Yes. So this is.
Yeah, your control F motion.
You're on your browser. So I took all the text of Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar. Okay. So Moshe's name's not anywhere in Bereishit, obviously. It doesn't happen. And in Devarim, it's all first place. It doesn't have a name. We look for where Moshe's mentioned. Okay. All the time. And there's a gap here in Mishpatim. And there's this huge gap. And that's a real gap. That's not just arbitrary there. It's bigger than any other gap anywhere else.
It's okay? A really nice state of representation.
Okay, so Vayikra is not much story. There's a little bit of story of Moshe here, but then it's Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe. Every paragraph, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Right? There's no Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor in our parsha. In all these paragraphs where you expect it to be, happen. Okay, a big gap. Here's Bamidbar where it's all narrative. It's all lots of Moshe's names there. So that's what we're talking about. That's the Mechem Ma'asifka. That's the gap there. That is not in this section at all. Let's go back and make this.
Too bad they have two little ones. Otherwise, it would be a bigger gap. Better gap.
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit where he says, this is Parshat Mishpatim. Here's the introduction to Truma. So Mishpatim is just along with the laws that doesn't have any Vayidaber Moshe. This is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe for Truma in the introduction, and then we go through the whole Mishkan and all of Tzaveh, all the laws about it, and nothing. And then when he's building it, it's got all the Moshe did this and this and this and back again.
Yes, the gap over there. Can you refresh about the timeline, though? Because technically, if we're reading according to like Seder HaParshio, the Chayda Egel doesn't happen until next week. So,
true.
And I know there's all like Ein Mukta Muhar, but like where are we then? Because if this is happening after,
okay,
then.
So that's the Machlok at Rashi Ramban. Ramban would read it straight, and that okay, he got all the rules for the Mishkan first, and then they do the Cheda Egel, and then they build it after Cheda Egel. And Rashi says no, the Mishkan was the rules for the Mishkan were actually afterwards, but they just put it beforehand, so it wasn't so it wouldn't look like they went straight from Aseret Dibro to the Egel. That won't matter. We're going to give a different
but like how would the yeah. Ramban explain then why Moshe's name is not there?
We have a different reason. So Rambam doesn't specifically mention that, okay? You would say it's not there because it's not there, right? It doesn't say it. But there's another reason why it's not there, okay? Why we have this gap. And that's the term, that's the Baal term says that, right? The Mishnah before Hashem, why is there this gap here? The Fisher Ratzel is a vote al inyan begadim la'aron. Because this is all talking about the role of Kohanim, all the vestments, their jobs there. That's all about the Kohanim. Moshe atid liyot Kohen. And Moshe would have been the Kohen. Or with the atid liyot Kohen Gadol. We know the story that Moshe says way back when he's talking to Hashem, I don't want to go rescue Bnei Israel. I'm happy being a shepherd here in Midian. Don't send me. Send someone else. And Hashem gets angry with Moshe and says, you know, your brother Aaron or Levi is there. But I'll say about that, that comment, Aaron HaLevi was saying that Aaron would have been the Levi, you could have been the Kohen, but if you're not going to take this mission on, then fine. We're going to make Aaron, because he's going to be the spokesman, he's going to be the Kohen, and you're going to be left being the Levi. You're not going to be a Kohen. You're not going to be the one doing the Avodah. Which was punished for saying, no, I don't want to go. He eventually goes, but against his will. So Moshe is writing this down. So Hashem's doing a favor that he didn't put his name in this entire section. Because Moshe would have been miserable writing, you know, he's writing this all down about, you know, okay, and Moshe told Aaron to do this. Moshe did Aaron, and that's realizing, you know, I could have been there. That could have been me. The gap is there simply because this is about the Kohanim, and Moshe is not the Kohanim.
Not to hurt his feelings.
Right. That's one answer. It's kind of cute there. But it still says, Va'ata, as for you, you're going to bring...
In a way, it's almost like worse. Like, you need to tell him because you're not going to do it. So even though, yeah, his name is not there, in a way, you're still like... Yes. It still has that emphasis.
Right. So he's still there. So we're going to look at that a little bit. Right, because the next paragraph is, you know, after the Va'ata, Kachaka, you know, the Ata, about the menorah and the Ner Tamid, the next paragraph is Va'ata HaKrevi Lachet Aron
Achicha. Right, it's like Achicha, your brother, but not you.
Right.
He's still emphasizing that. So, I mean, we're going to leave the Midrash on that. And then Va'ata Deber Chachas Melech, and you're going to have to give the orders. Aaron to make this big gadim. Your name's not there, but still Vata. This all has to do with you. So this is the Shema Rabba on that very thing. Ta'akrev Alecha. This is what the Pasuk in Tehillim is saying when it says, Lule Taracha Shashuai, if the Torah hadn't been my pastime plaything, as a Vaiti Bani, I would have been lost in my misery. Hashem told Moshe, Atah krev elecha, you need to tell Aaron that Aaron, you're going to be the Kohen. Hera lo. Moshe was miserable. Could have been me. Omar lo. Hashem says, you shouldn't be so miserable. Torah haita li, the Torah was mine, and natatiha lach, and I've given you the Torah. That if not for the Torah, the world would have been destroyed. We talked about that, the Yom HaShishi, if the Bnei Israel hadn't accepted the Torah, that the purpose of the world was creating the Torah, and I gave that to you, Moshe. Hachamar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Hashem said, Moshe, Yachol Yiti Lasot Lachicha Kol Gadol Chutz Meidatach. I can't make Aaron the Kohen Gadol without you. It's gonna start with you. You need to bring the Torah to Bnei Israel for all of this to make any sense.
So this is like consoling him, meaning you're not getting a specific role, but you are still so integral. What is he saying?
Right. That's what the Emek Dever says, that's what Menorah is saying, that Menorah is there as a symbol of the Torah Shebaal Peh, that the symbol of Moshe is the one who brings that down in the Mishkan, because that's where it all starts. After Moshe, then nothing would ever happen. That's your consolation. Yeah, you're not going to do the daily avodah there, but it still starts from you. Building the Mishkan requires you. This is the Emek Davar, the Tziv, Ha'inim B'chol Zer. All this is saying, the Yesodat, the Or HaTorah Shu Tachlit HaMishkan, that the light of Torah is the purpose, the origin of the Mishkan. The Ikar HaMishrash Shechina B'Yisrael, and it's the essence of what the position of the Shechina is in Israel. It's not about the gold, it's not about the Avodah, it's about the Torah. And this Torah comes through the medium of these two kelim in the Mishkan, Haino Aaron and Menorah. We said that. The Aaron and Menorah. And each has a different message, different path. Aaron bar Le'ud had the Brot Shevach Tav, Gamut Sivui, the Kabbalah Balpeh. The Aaron is there, it has the Parsha B'Ktav has got the Luchot in there, and also the ongoing revelation there that Hashem tells to Moshe, that's sort of divine side of the Parsha B'Ktav. But doesn't symbolize, if you just had the Aram, then you couldn't do your own thinking. You couldn't come up with a Chidushim. That's not what it means. That a person can think about the Torah and figure things out. That's not a direct Kabbalah. The human side of Torah Shabbat. I thought you would. And this wondrous power, Shenikra Talmud, that's what Talmud Torah is. It's not just, okay, here's what I have memorized, here's what I have written down. It's the thinking, it's the figuring things out beyond that. V'tenkoach ha-menorah. That's what the menorah symbolizes. She has nichlal bo sheva chachamot, and you get to that symbolizes that the seven branches are the seven branches of wisdom. The Ne'er Maravi being the Torah part of that. The other sort of science, other branches are all the sciences and arts that go into what we call chachma as a whole. We call kolchot hadidrash the tupula shel Torah. That's all what he's calling pilpul. Which has a negative name, but the figuring out, human side. Kol ze nichlal b'kaftorim prachim. And that's what the symbolism of the kaftor v'ferach, all those little decorations on the menorah are, that it doesn't have a keter, you know, Rabbi Torek says that the menorah has a keter Torah. It doesn't have a keter Torah. It has lots of little keterim. Everyone's got an individual part to play on there. Every perach, every kaftor and every gevia, all that. That's all equivalent to the Keter Torah, Everyone's got their own little Keter Torah. The Ita B'Breshet Rabbah, that we have the quote B'Breshet Rabbah, that Rabbi Tarfon, B'Shah, Shaya Shomea, Devar Mutukan, that says there, Rabbi Tarfon, when you hear a Gevaltig Avort, a nice word of Torah, hey,
only that. He said that.
You call that.
Kaftor B'Ferach. Nice.
That was the Kaftor B'Ferach. That symbolizes the tip of the Chiddush of Torah. That's what the menorah is. We all are part of that. So that's what the consolation of Moshe was, that part of the building of the Mishkan, in fact, it starts from the menorah. That's you. You're the Ne'er Maravi, and you're transmitted from one to generation. And that's the, what we call that, the Edut L'chol Bo Olam Shel Shechina B'Yisrael. That's Moshe's consolation, that he's still there in the Mishkan. We're all still there in the Mishkan. We should all be learning Torah and bringing our Chiddush and bringing our own, or and lighting all the other candles out there. That's your job.
In a way, it works out also nicely if you think about it as like coming after Chayte Egel. Also, if you're going to say that like the whole, like one of the like roots I thought is that they felt like we need something tangible. We need some connection with this new God experience. And in addition to having like a building, which is the Mishkan, but they also have like a job. Like you're saying that everybody has this, you know, everybody has a part to play, you know, and that like that's what we need, that because if we don't feel like we have that, then like what, like ma betza lanu.
Right.
Nice.
That's right.
So I can go out like Luchadushay Halacha, right, Danny? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm sorry?
I can now go and...
I didn't hear what you said.
Luchadushay Halacha. I could now go and...
I think that would be... Yes.
You know, I have a skeptic reaction to this. It's come up before with us. That when the Chachamim are saying, they're the ones who are saying, we are so important. Everything we're doing, all this pilpul, this is what it's all about. But they're the ones saying it. It's not like in the Torah saying it. Like they're saying, that's what the Kaftover Perach is, us.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's come up before.
Yes, but I would say that's true. That's you. I mean, that isn't just some chachamim out there. That's you too. That is what it means to be Jewish.
That's a
and
different
that's the way
message.
We look at the Torah.
Right. That's a different message. That we're supposed to be engaged. That's a different message.
That we are, that's part of the Masorah, the tradition that we have, is that your job is to be learning and generating and teaching.
Yeah, that's nice.
Why you exist.
That's nice.
Okay, that's inherent. And you're right. If you don't believe that, then you can pick some other.
No, that's nice. That's different than the Chachamim saying, we have the authority, because it says here, listen to the Chachamim. You know, that's different.
Okay. Anyway. This is a different message there. I think, yes, you can still listen to the Chachamim. Okay, I'm not saying that's listen to the Chachamim, and that's still real there, right?
Yeah.
But.
No, this is a very nice.
This is the act of Talmud Torah, which that the Rambam says that, you know, when you start learning, you should divide your time up between Mikra and Mishnah and what he calls Gemara, which he says is the figuring out the thinking, the generating new chidushim. And that's when you start. But your goal is to reach a point where most of your time is spent in the chidushim. Yeah, you need to spend the time getting the basics and getting the tools to do that.
Right. He's assuming that we know everything already,
right?
Which I think we're so far from that. I mean, I am, maybe not you, but like that. It's
so
like
there's a balance there, right? I mean, you start out by getting all the tools there, but at some point you really should be thinking about moving beyond just the tools and.
Ideas, yeah.
You should be. You should be lighting other lamps.
Yeah.
It's not going to be. Your light will continue to shine. The part you should be doing is go spraying the fire.
Very nice. Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will stop here. Thank you very much for joining us, and I will.
Shabbat shalom.
Bye, Phyllis. Good to see you.
Talk to you later.
We're off to get our passports, Davida.
Oh, good luck.
Yay.
I hope it goes smoothly.
On in Netanya. Yeah.
You can get them in Netanya? I thought you have to go to Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
No, Netanya has a Misrad HaPnim, I guess, right? Misrad HaPnim.
But your Israeli passports or your American passports?
Yes.